So this 80% reduction in your thinking mind?
Yes.
Did it occur to you that maybe you'd gone insane or something?
Well, not so much to me, but to people around me. That's right. So people who knew me, especially family, parents, family members, some friends, thought something had gone wrong with me because, well, after the shift for a while, I carried on with the external structures of my life. I just carried on as if nothing had happened because they still had a certain momentum, and there was just the momentum was there, and I went with the momentum for 3 years or so, 4 years. And then realized that those external structures were totally out of alignment with my inner being. I was in the academic world, mind-dominated completely, and ego-dominated completely. And so then a moment came when I left it all behind. And that's when people thought I was really mad, because to leave a promising academic career behind and go into nothing and then sit on a park bench and not do anything anymore. It was quite extreme because I didn't have any spiritual guidance. Nobody who told me that, well, you don't need to live on a park bench, you can actually still function in the world. I had to find that out for myself, and that took quite a few more years, that I could still function in the world. But for a while, the state of presence or beingness was so satisfying and beautiful and complete, I lost all interest in future, let alone ambition or needing to achieve this or that. If the present moment is so fulfilling, why need the future? Now, of course, on a practical level, future still operates, and it's quite helpful sometimes to know that you need to catch a plane in a few days or something like that, or even to learn something that you need a certain amount of time to learn a language or whatever it is. But I didn't need future internally anymore, and it took years before I started being able to deal with the world again without needing the world, almost in a playful way, to initiate things, to do things. And miraculously, quite a few things came to me, even when I was sitting on the park bench and not interested and often very close to having nothing in my pocket. And usually at the last minute, somebody or something came, and again, there would be enough to live for a while, to live on. Miraculously, it always happened. And gradually then, I was able to function in the world again. I must say, two or three times, I tried to drop back into the structures of the world. I was feeling that my time on the park bench was coming to an end. And so, okay, I better do something. And then I applied for a job. This is quite funny. I applied for a job at a merchant bank in the city of London. And I actually got an interview. And they listened to me with interest, but didn't offer me a job. And then I applied for an academic job. And I also got an interview, and I talked a bit about teaching, and I must have said something that what really matters is I try to avoid spiritual language, but the truth or that which is beyond. And there was a panel of professors interviewing me, maybe six or seven. And at the end of the interview, one of the professors asked me, "And what do you really want to do?" He could see that that was not what I really wanted to do. And that was my last interview ever. So I realized I really didn't want to drop back into the structures of the world. And then gradually people came and asked questions sometimes. And out of informal teaching situations, then something a little bit more structured and formal came. And so then I became a spiritual teacher in the eyes of the world. So that's how it happened. And a while ago somebody asked me, "What is your greatest achievement in life?" And I couldn't think of very much. But what suddenly came to me was, well, I don't need to think. That's why I couldn't think of it. But I don't need to think anymore unless I want to think. That's my achievement. But that's not really an achievement because it's a negative thing. It's I don't need to think, so I haven't achieved really anything. And I wouldn't get a job if I put that in my resume. I don't need to think anymore. But really, that's what it is. The very power of the teaching comes from that state of awareness. It's not me. I always, whenever I start a talk, I have this feeling I've got absolutely nothing to say. There's nothing there. I've got nothing to say. So it's not really this person that is doing anything. The whole teaching, and it's having quite an impact on the world, but it is the state of no thought. It's that comes out of that. Nothing to do with this person.
So even though people from the outside might have thought that you were a little loony,
mm-hmm.
Your internal experience, you never questioned what had happened.
No. It was so clear, and there was never any question. The reality of it was so obvious. And I once said somewhere that even if I had met the Buddha and the Buddha said, "Oh no, that's not it," I would have said, "Oh, so even the Buddha can be wrong. That's interesting." And that's not spoken from ego. It was just to say that how immediate and obvious the reality is, that no mental thing or anything anybody says could question. It's like holding something in your hand and there's an apple and somebody comes and says, "No, that's not an apple, but you know, it is. Yeah.